This inflation report is really bad. We've still got inflation near a 40-year high, and we still have a president that's refusing to take responsibility and refusing to change the policies that led us to 8.3% inflation in the first place. Wow. I mean, they're just political, though, right? I mean, you see what's happening right now with the Roe v. Wade thing. They're trying to politicize this moment because they realize they're losing on everything else, including inflation. Hey, guys, I got an idea. Why not actually try and do something that works? Why not actually try and fix things like the border, like the economy, instead of turning around and blaming everyone else, including, by the way, MAGA. They're blaming MAGA supporters and MAGA, the MAGA party for inflation. You can't make this stuff up. Anyway, welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I am so glad to have you here, especially on a day like this when we're dealing with this inflation and there are people trying to tell you that it's all fine. It's all good. It's not. Okay. It's not. Consumers are not as wealthy as they were because inflation is eating into anything that they are earning. We're going to get into all of it. Welcome to the show. I am Trish. Good to have you here. A quick reminder, portions of today's program are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals like gold, like silver than right now. So go to legacypminvestments.com for more. You can get a free investing guide there at legacypminvestments.com. We're going to talk a little bit more about gold, which rose in today's trading in just a moment. But first, let's get to this inflation report and the politics, shall we say, of all of it. 8.3%. 8.3% was how much inflation rose in April. So we're continuing this climb here, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. We're down from 8.5%. I read one headline across a liberal television network that said inflation declines. You know, they were really trying to play that up. I'm sorry, there's really not a big difference between 8.3% and 8.5%. I mean, hey, I'll take the 0.2%, but this is not a time to celebrate. 8.3 is still way too high. And by the way, we haven't even fully seen the effects of higher wheat prices and higher energy prices, courtesy of what's going on overseas. All right. So even though the president is trying to point fingers and blame, in this case, he's been trying the Putin thing, but that's not sinking in, or MAGA, the MAGA party. I guess he means Republicans. It's not going to work. I mean, the reality is these policies that he has enacted and put in place, they have led us to where we are today. You cannot issue another COVID stimulus check as he did when he first came into office. That was the third one, while simultaneously putting $1.9 trillion worth of spending into the economy with his, you know, his whole stimulus effort. He didn't even get what he wanted, right? Like, imagine if he had, then we'd be looking at, I don't know, 18%. Anyway, he had his $1.9 trillion in stimulus. He had his other COVID stimulus check that went out. Plus, our Federal Reserve was still insanely, ridiculously buying mortgage-backed securities and treasuries, artificially keeping rates low, pumping $120 billion into the system every single month. I mean, our money supply has just ballooned like never before. And you wonder why we have inflation? It's really actually pretty incredible. I would argue that as worried as I am about the future direction of the economy and whether or not consumers can continue to sustain this level of spending, what's interesting is we actually haven't had the massive downside in the economy that you might think. I mean, I guess I'm in the minority because my kids are like, why haven't we gone on vacation? Why? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't want to pay two or three times as much for the same hotel room that I stayed in pre-COVID that was, you know, a sliver of the price it is now. I just, you know, ethically have a problem with that. The price of everything is going up and restaurants are still crowded and it's tough to get airline tickets. I mean, all of this suggests inflation will continue because if you have that demand coupled with these inflationary pressures, such as we now have in the economy, and there's so many of them. Finally, the Fed is doing something about it, but there will be a hangover combined with real supply chain issues. Yes, because of the China thing. And of course, the energy challenges because of what's going on in Europe. I mean, this is not going to get too much better. The economy could suffer, right? Because people may start to scale back in that spending. Maybe they don't go out to dinner as much. Maybe they don't go on vacation as much, because at some point it's got to sink in. It's got to sink in that they got less money in their pocket, right? I mean, I'm looking at the numbers here, and basically there was nearly a 3% drop, 2.6% drop in spending power in terms of what consumers have, because inflation is continuing to rise by this much, and yet incomes are only going up this much, right? So when you look at the real number, which I realize nobody at the New York Times wants to do, because they apparently don't adjust for inflation over there. When they look at incomes, they're like, oh, incomes are higher. No, they're not. They're not higher when adjusted for inflation. People actually have less money. And that's why you're seeing, I think, frustration reflected in so many polls, because Americans, they don't feel great about the economy right now, which leads us back to what I said all along. There are a lot of similarities between our current president and Jimmy Carter, right? Like, nobody wants to go back to Carter. I mean, everything just felt kind of down then. I was a kid and I sort of remember the gas lines. I do remember the styles. I've got lots of pictures of me with my little bell bottoms. Terrible colors, by the way, really horrible colors. And you think back to the television sets back then and the grainy picture, like nothing was good about the 70s. Nobody wants to go back to the 70s. And that was a time of tremendous inflation, of international conflict, all kinds of bad stuff. And it feels like kind of a deja vu. I mean, here we are all over again. I want to get to the markets because they had another bad day, and I expect there will be more bad days coming. You should be sharpening your pencil, looking for opportunities. I can give you some ideas on some of those opportunities, but in just a moment. But first, one of them should be not really an opportunity. I call this one just sort of smart investing, and that's taking a look at gold, because gold is one of those investments that continues over time to keep pace with inflation, right? And you can look at all the numbers, and you go back to, say, 1972, and a dollar's purchasing power back in 1972 was just so much better, so much more than it is now. You need so much more money in order, like six times the money in order to buy as much. In fact, like $100 back then would get you what 600 and some odd dollars would get you now. So as you plan ahead for your future and in your retirement, you need to keep that in mind, unless you're going to, you know, move to the Philippines and, you know, have a great deal on your rent and have very low living expenses. Chances are your expenses are going to keep going up. So how do you make sure you can save appropriately while still knowing that inflation is going to get worse before it gets better? It's one of the reasons why I like gold so much. And I'm so happy to have on this show as one of our sponsors, Legacy Precious Metals, because this is the company I trust for investing in gold. You can call them at 1-866-589-0560, 1-866-589-0560, legacypminvestments.com. They've got a free guide you can download all about investing in precious metals. I encourage you to check that out. But let's get back now to the markets. The markets, which now keep suffering. I mean, you look at Wednesday's session, and once again, even though we were up earlier in the day, which I was kind of surprised by, I got a fairly good sense of this after all the years that I've been sort of on the front lines reporting on markets and business and economic policy. I started out in the year 2000, right? So it was during the craziness, actually, first at Bloomberg Television and went on to work at MarketWatch and CNBC and back at Bloomberg and then Fox Business. So I've been watching this stuff like forever. And I can tell you that I'm not surprised. I mean, the NASDAQ down again, 3% today. And the VIX is I've mentioned this before. I really want you to watch the VIX. The VIX is only at 32. It's high. 32 is high, but I really like it to be like 34, right? Before I'm getting back in. So I've been sort of patiently watching from the sidelines. I will go back into this market probably when it's at 34, maybe 35. 36 is another sort of magic level some people like, but you know, I'm not convinced that this is over yet. I'm really not, because I think the Fed's actions have really yet to take hold. There's a lot of concern that that's going to cause a pullback in spending, while simultaneously we're going to still deal with this inflation. I mean, there's just a lot of unknowns out there, and we need more clarity from corporations in terms of their earnings before I think you can go all in. The Dow Jones Industrial Average got hit a little less hard, down 1%. S&P, which has a lot of tech in it now, down 1.6%. I think the moral of the story here is what you're seeing investors do is really back off from the tech space. And that's just a function of the fact that it had been bid up so much, right? It was trading at very, very high multiples with just this sort of euphoria surrounding this, the whole sector. It reminds me of 2000 in many ways. In fact, I've got an article coming out on AmericanConsequences.com, my magazine that I write for. If you haven't signed up for that, do make sure that you go to AmericanConsequences.com, sign up for it. Do go to TrishIntel.com as well. That's my website, and sign up for my direct newsletter there as well. But look, I think that, and I write about this because I remember in 2000, right, how crazy everything was. Everybody was quitting their job to become a day trader. And they thought you could just make infinite amounts of money in the stock market. The reality, however, was the NASDAQ in spring of 2000 started selling off, and it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. In fact, by 2001, when I first arrived in San Francisco, I was like, great, you know, the party's over. Everybody's leaving. You couldn't get a U-Haul in San Francisco. That was one of the first stories I remember reporting. It was pretty crazy. You just couldn't get a U-Haul. There was a backup of 3 to 4 months because everyone was leaving. The city rents were plummeting. My husband and I, we wound up getting this apartment for like $1,100 that had originally been over $6,000, right? And it fell in the span of 3 months that much. I mean, everybody, it was like turning into a ghost town. And yet, there were still opportunities for sure. For sure, there were opportunities out there for smart people. I know that the NASDAQ took like 15 years to recover, right? It was down near the 80%. It was a long time before it got back to where it was. But if you were smart and you were investing in things that really were our future, you did pretty darn well. One company that comes to mind only because I remember meeting these guys, Sergey and Larry, the founders of a pretty prominent company, in the lobby of MarketWatch, where I worked there in San Francisco. I was talking with the tech columnist, and she was meeting them, and she brought me over and introduced me, and they told me a little bit about their story. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. Look at it today, right? And I mention that only because people need to remember, and they need to think about, even when everything is really bad, if you go out there and you seek opportunities in the right companies, you do have a tremendous amount of opportunity. I mean, I think right now the obvious ones are sort of in the tech space. If you want that growth over a long-term trajectory, you're going to be looking at things like Facebook still. I know a lot of us out there aren't too happy with Facebook, but Facebook is still a major, major player. And Mark Zuckerberg seems pretty serious about the metaverse, which I do think is going to be the next leg in this sort of development for the web. So Web 3.0, the metaverse, Facebook is going to be heavily into that. Other companies like, you know, PayPal's a great example of a way to help play the crypto space. I think they'll continue being a dominant player as we move forward in online payments. And they're, you know, look, Netflix is another one I know that's gotten beaten down. I spoke the other day with a gentleman who thought that would be a great, great takeout candidate, Netflix. In fact, suggests maybe even Disney winds up buying it. That would be an interesting deal. So there are things out there, and you want to sharpen your pencil and make sure that you're getting the opportunity. There's going to be a lot of companies that go away, just like they did in the year 2000. You know what? That's probably a good thing, right? You don't want the dead weight. So you have to be selective, and you have to be smart, and you have to look for these good quality names. Getting back to the political stuff for just a moment, I am sure you saw the news, right, of the vote that everybody is very, very upset about. Well, those on the left. And the Democrats are now saying they intend to use this, the Senate abortion rights vote, to, quote, galvanize their supporters ahead of midterms. The quote was from one of these congressional Democrats: today we start the march towards the November elections. So the problem with all of this, and regardless of where you stand on this issue, is just the horrible political theater, right, that's involved. I mean, they're just, you know, chomping at the bit, the Democrats, anxious to politicize this and really stir up negative emotions from so many people so that they can get them to the ballot boxes in November, because I think they know things really are that bad with the economy, with what we saw in Afghanistan, the tragedy that, you know, there's not a lot we can do, but I think a lot of people feel frustrated. We haven't been able to be more helpful overseas. And then, of course, the border. Oh, and did I forget? There was a new study that came out today saying that more people than ever before died from drug overdoses. And you can't tell me that it doesn't have a little something to do with the amount of drugs that are coming into this country from our southern border. There's a lot of reasons, and we can go into them another time, but it's part of it, right? So you got the border mess, you got the economic mess, you got the international mess. And so what do? They say, oh, well, we're gonna now use this to galvanize and excite our voters for November. It was a very close vote, 49-51. I think we all knew it would fail. It was certainly expected to fail. But you see, this now becomes a political hot item for them, and they are going to maximize the return as much as possible. I get it. It's a political place, Washington, D.C., and they know that they have nothing else to run on. I mean, they really don't, because everything has just been such a horrible failure on a policy front. And it's just too bad, because you would like to think that people in charge actually can affect change in positive ways, right? And this is the sort of non-politician in me. I just want our country to be in good shape, both from a military perspective in terms of our security and our safety, and also from an economic perspective, which, by the way, relates back to a military perspective. Is that too much to ask? Why do we have, honestly, some of the most stupid policies in place that you knew, if you had two brain cells as an economist, would lead to inflation? You know, I should think that these guys and gals would want to preserve themselves politically enough that they wouldn't have allowed this to happen. I mean, if I'm Joe Biden, I'm like, whoa, wait a second. You know, the Federal Reserve is in there with its hand. Do we really want to contribute to this with $1.9 trillion in spending? Oh, and another COVID stimulus check. They're not done either. He wants more money for COVID, even though COVID is theoretically over, right? I mean, it just doesn't stop. It doesn't stop, and it's highly irresponsible and extremely frustrating from my perspective. But we all need to keep a cool head. And if you're an investor, you need to be thoughtful, you need to be smart, you need to know that there are more challenging times ahead economically. There is more inflation ahead in our economy, but there's still are always opportunities. It's so good to have you here. I hope you go to trishintel.com and sign up for my newsletter there. I do hope to see you over on my new Locals channel. That's trishregan.locals.com. And I'll see you right back here tomorrow. Thanks for listening.